You may be seated. The reading today comes from Romans chapter 2, verses 25 to 29. Circumcision, indeed, is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So, if those who are uncircumcised keep the requirements of the law, will not their uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then those who are physically uncircumcised but keep the law will condemn you that have written the code and circumcision but break the law. For if a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical. Rather, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and real circumcision is a matter of the heart. It is spiritual and not literal. Such a person receives praise not from others, but from God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're in a worship series right now where we're looking at some of John Wesley's sermons, about six of his sermons, and trying to preach them as how he might say them today, which probably isn't true. He'd probably say it exactly like he said it back then, but how I might say them today. That's why we have John Wesley on the pulpit right now, although I kept thinking we ought to get a Charles Wesley to put on the organ to just kind of balance it out, and that's right. I don't know if they make a Charles Wesley bobblehead, but I will start looking for that so that we can do that. And we're trying to sing some of Charles Wesley's hymns every service that we do this for, throughout the series. So will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to look at our faith, to look at our history, to understand what it means to be United Methodist. I pray now that the words of my mouth, but the meditations of all of our hearts here today, would be acceptable to you. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this past Thursday, I was meeting with our morning Bible study, Bible and Coffee. And by the way, anyone is welcome to come be a part of that. We at 9:30 on Thursday mornings, if you can be there, we meet in the coffee shop. We talk about the scripture that we're going to be using in worship the next Sunday. And so we have a nice group that has a wonderful conversations there. But this week, as I read the scripture out loud to everybody, the group kind of noticed that the word circumcision was in it a lot. You may have noticed that as well. In fact, in those verses, either the word circumcised, circumcision, or uncircumcision was there 10 times just in that scripture. And then the group started thinking, and they got a little nervous. They said, I wonder how Robin's going to sign that. They were really concerned about you. And so they said, you might warn her ahead of time. So I let her know, and she says, oh, don't worry, we have a word for that, or we have a sign for that. But very, very curious. And so she said it wasn't as exciting as you think. But the John Wesley sermon that we're addressing today was called The Circumcision of the Heart. And it was based on this passage in Romans, the very end that, about real circumcision is circumcision of the heart. And that what God really desires is a changed heart. You know, circumcision was an important sign to the Jews. It was an outward sign that said, this is who we are. But what God really wants is a spiritual change, a mark that leads to holiness on the heart. And so Paul's argument in the passage is that what good is an outward sign if inwardly we're not being faithful? Which does God prefer? Someone who has an outward sign or someone whose heart has been changed and is living holiness? And so last week we looked at John's sermon called The New Birth, which is kind of that beginning, that moment when God's Spirit washes over us and we feel renewed in our spirits, which can happen many times in our life. But Wesley might call that justification or justifying grace, that moment when God connects to us and reminds us that we are loved. But it's not the end of the journey. It's just the beginning of the journey. And so today we're going to talk about what comes next, how Wesley understood that. And John would use the word sanctification or sanctifying grace, or which really just means the process of growing in holiness. And here's how he would describe the difference. He would say, justification is what God does for us. Like that moment when John's heart was strangely warmed. And it's God's reaching out and embracing us and loving us and reminding us that we are loved, giving us that assurance that God loves even us. But sanctification, he would say, is God's work within us. It's God's Spirit working in us to transform us. And by the way, we're never a finished product. We are always growing more into God's holiness and God's love. So sanctification is that journey toward holiness, toward love. And so in his sermon, the Circumcision of the Heart, John outlines four qualities of a circumcised heart or a sanctification. And they are humility, faith, hope, and love. And so I'm going to try to explain what he meant by that by mainly telling you a story, a story about myself, to try to share what John was trying to say back, 250 years ago. As you heard earlier this month, we sent our group to Tochi. I got to go to with the team for the first time. It was not my first time to go on a mission trip to Mexico, but the first time with this team. And I haven't been on a mission trip since before COVID. It just didn't seem to work out, and I needed to go because for me, that's where I find myself spiritually renewed. I could hardly wait to go with this team. I was excited about the trip. I was especially excited that I wasn't in charge of anything, that I was just going along to experience to be part of the team. And so when we arrived in Puebla, Mexico, that first night after a long day of travel, and we got to the hotel, I opened up my backpack, and something was missing, something that was important. My passport was not where it was supposed to be. And of course, I tried to stay calm at first, and I dumped the entire contents of my backpack onto the bed and started going through all the pockets trying to figure out where it might be, but it was not in there. And so I went to the next place, the only other place that I thought it could possibly be, my suitcase, and I started going through my suitcase and looking through there, but it shouldn't be in my suitcase. I always put it in my backpack. And then I thought, maybe it fell out of my backpack on the bus to get here. And so I ran down to where the bus had been. By the way, we were on the 7th floor, and I ran down the stairs to get all the way down there. I went out, and the bus was gone. So then we had somebody call the bus company to have them look in the bus and to see was the passport in there. And of course, they said nothing was there either. What I knew was this, is that if I wanted to return to the United States, I needed a passport. And that I did not have a passport. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to get one, but I knew I had to replace it somehow before we returned. I just didn't know how that was going to happen. So John Wesley, when he preaches about sanctification, he says the first quality is humility. We need to recognize that we are broken or helpless, or as he would say, sinful, that we're dependent on God. And you know what? Humility isn't easy for a lot of us, is it? That we like to think we're in control, that we can take care of ourselves, that we don't need to depend on others because I can depend on myself. I don't even need to depend on God most of the time. But life has a way of humbling us, doesn't it? And we have to admit at moments that I need help. And that's exactly how I felt in that moment with the lost passport. And what made it worse, this was my own doing. I had done this to myself. I had lost the passport. I should have been more responsible. And I haven't always been the most compassionate person with other people in that situation. And so I was being convicted even more. You know, one of my favorite people in the world is a guy, I'll just call him Pastor Bill. And Pastor Bill was a retired pastor that was in my church in Salina. I loved Pastor Bill, and he was so supportive. He also loved to go on mission trips. So we did a few mission trips together. But Pastor Bill was at an age where he couldn't do everything that he used to do, that some of the physical labor, but he did bring some incredible gifts. One of them was just this spiritual guidance and wisdom with the group, but the other was photography. He was a wonderful photographer, and so he would bring his camera, and he would document the trip so that others could see what we were doing. And so on this trip, we were headed to Mexico on a mission trip. We were driving in cars. It was a two-day trip. And we're in the cars, and I get a call from Pastor Bill, who's in another car. And he's calling because we are about an hour down the road, he realized he lost his camera. And he believed that he had left it at the church in the bathroom, that he'd gone in right before we left, put it down, and just left it there. So he was calling me, could I get back a hold of the church? Could they go look and get his very fancy and expensive camera out of the restroom? And so I called the church, and I said, there's a camera in the bathroom. Can you find it? Well, they couldn't find it. It wasn't there. So I called him back, and I said, it's not there. And he said, well, have them check other places. It's got to be at the church. And so I called back, and they went looking, could not find the camera. And I was just thinking in my mind, Bill, you had one job. You were to take the pictures, and we're an hour in, and you've already lost your camera. I'm just not always very compassionate, especially when we finally got to our first stop where we were going to stop for breakfast, and we get out of the cars, Pastor Bill gets out, and I see him, the camera is hanging around his neck. And I said, Pastor Bill, the camera's around your neck. He goes, oh yeah, I found it. Now, this is not like a little, you know, camera phone. I mean, this is a big Nikon camera SLR. I mean, it's huge. And I said, Pastor Bill, where did you find it? He said, I was sitting on it. So I said to him, Pastor Bill, next time before you call me and get me in a panic when you're looking for your camera, why don't you look in your backside? We both thought that was funny. But you can see, so when I lose my passport, I realize, you know what, maybe I could have been a little bit more compassionate. There's something humbling. And we have to admit sometimes that, you know what, I'm irresponsible. I need help. It's hard to do, but I had no choice. Wesley says that's the first step, humility, realizing that we can't do it on our own. But he says that humility leads to the next quality, which is faith. You know, as I talked about my situation to the people in the group to tell them I can't find my passport, not only did they offer words of comfort and a little bit of advice, but mostly comfort, they often said things like, you know what, God's going to take care of you. We're going to get this worked out. You're going to be all right. Have faith. I kept thinking to myself, I hope so, but I think God may have a little higher priorities in this world than finding my passport. There might be some other things going on that God's more concerned about, but I wanted to lean into my faith. I wanted to believe it, that God was going to help me get what I needed. And slowly, one by one, the pieces started to fall into place. I made an appointment with the U.S. Embassy, which was back in Mexico City. I was able to fill out all the forms that I needed for a lost or stolen passport. I was able to get them printed at the hotel we were staying at. Alta Gracia, who helps us with the trip down there, she purchased a bus ticket to me to go back from Puebla to Mexico City so I could get a passport. And maybe the most important, made arrangements with Ahmed, who also lives there, and that he agreed to go with me on the bus because Ahmed speaks both English and Spanish. That was important on the trip. It wasn't going to be easy. I was going to have to leave the team to do it while they went off to Tochi, but at least we had a plan, and it started to fall into place. Maybe God was taking care of me. Maybe my faith was growing through this. And then the night before we were to travel to Mexico City, I got this sick pit in my stomach. And not because we'd eaten something we shouldn't have. I got it because I thought, I've lost track of the days. And so I asked, what day is it? Well, it's Wednesday. And I realize my appointment is on Friday, but I have a bus ticket on Thursday. And by that time in the evening, I thought, I don't know what else to do. Maybe I'm supposed to go tomorrow. I don't know. But we're going to go ahead, and we're going to go on Thursday, and we're going to hope that everything works out, which is actually the next quality that John Wesley talks about in his sermon. The next quality of sanctification is hope. I decided that there must be a reason, but all I really had was hope that it was going to be successful. Was I going to get my passport back? So I got up at 2:45 in the morning, not because I wanted to get up that early, but that's how early I had to get up so I could get a ride to the bus station, so I could get on a bus to travel almost 3 hours back to Mexico City. And I have to tell you, I was still a little filled with anxiety, but I was trying to lean in to that faith and to that hope. And so when we arrived at the embassy, I walked in and I looked, and there was a line 2 blocks long just to get into the embassy. This was an hour and a half before my appointment. I realized later that was the visa line, not the passport line, so that was good news. But I got into the passport line, and I talked to the person, and I learned also that I needed a picture for my passport, which I wasn't able to get ahead of time. I was able to get one. That's a longer story, not time in this sermon for that. But I did get a picture, and I finally made it to the front of the line, where a very nice woman working at the embassy asked, did I have all the paperwork that I needed for a new passport? And I showed her, and I said, yes, I do. And then she said, do you have a copy of your lost passport? I said, yes, I do. It's right here. She said, finally, do you have an appointment? I did not lie to her. I just said, yes, I have an appointment. She said, what time is your appointment? I said, 8 o'clock. Again, that was true. And then she said, and what is your name? And at that point, I knew I was in trouble, because I gave her my name, and she looked down the list. She says, I don't have you on my list. Did you get a confirmation email? Well, yes, I do. So I showed her the confirmation email on the phone, knowing that she would realize. And as she looked at it, she goes, oh, this appointment's for tomorrow. And at that point, my hope became real. I had to say, I've just been on a bus for 3 hours. I've lost my passport. Can you help me? And as I explained my situation, she made a phone call and then responded, we're going to get you in. It's going to be all right. And she let me move forward. You know, there's a beautiful feeling when your hope becomes a reality, when what you had hoped for becomes real in your life. And that leads to the final quality of sanctification that John Wesley says is love. In fact, I think he says it's more than a quality. It's really the ultimate destination of sanctification, to fall more deeply in love with God and more deeply in love with your neighbor. You know, when I finally got through that, the process of getting a new passport, and I was relieved and happy that I now could return back to the team, I also started to question why all this had happened to me. I mean, especially after we returned to Puebla on the bus, and while waiting for our ride to get to Tochi and we had all of our luggage, I unzipped a zipper, and there was my passport. I had a few questions for God at that moment. But mainly the whole process of humility started all over again. How was I going to explain that I did all of this, and there it was all along? And as I reflected more, I decided it wasn't because I needed a good sermon illustration for today. It reminded me that this whole process really is a metaphor for our journey in faith, what sanctification is all about, that maybe I needed to be reminded again to realize that, you know what, we are broken people, aren't we? That we don't have it all together. Sometimes we feel helpless. We are sinful. We disconnect from God and others. But when we do that, it helps remind us that God is there, that when we lean into our faith, when we give our hopes over to God, and ultimately we fall more deeply in love with God and our neighbors. You know, what I experienced that day did help me fall more deeply in love with God. The whole trip helped me fall more deeply in love with God, and especially the people that I encountered, that I could not have got that emergency passport without any of them. Those who went to Mexico with me, made sure I had bus tickets, made sure that they were praying for me, both here and in Mexico. It reminded me there are a lot of good people in this world, people who are willing to help, to make a difference. And it inspired me to say, that's who I want to be. I want to be the person that reaches out in love and compassion, to be the kind of person that God created me to be. That's really what the process of sanctification is about, helping us to grow into the loving people that God created all of us to be. But it's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey for all of us. And we're always growing into it. We're always making mistakes. And yet God walks with us all the way as he changes us from the inside out.